honestly, we could just bitch this whole episode about like how she deserved better. And I think that's a valid episode to have.
100%.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the podcast where we go absolutely cuckoo bananas over our favorite characters from Degrassi The Next Generation. I'm Keely Bell, and you can join me every week with a special guest to talk about how these characters did whatever it takes and how exactly they made it through.
Welcome back. This is Cuckoo Bananas, exclamation point, a Degrassi, colon, The Next Generation podcast. And in honor of Black History Month, the first character we are doing this month is Hazel Adan. And I am joined by my only Black friend.
Oh, my God.
Unfortunately, that's not a conscious choice. That's just how the world has worked for me in the last 10 years. But I'm joined by my good friend, Alicia. Welcome back.
Thank you. Hello.
I'm glad to have you here because you were the person that I had in mind, obviously, to talk about this episode because we have a lot of things to say about about this character and like
also how... nothing to say about her.
Yeah, like we have so much to say about what this character stands for. And almost zero things to say about the character herself. We are discussing Hazel Adan this episode. So, Alicia, how do we feel about Hazel?
She exists. And I was really happy when she was in the Drake video.
Me too. You know, we don't talk about the I'm Upset video enough on this podcast. Do you remember when that came out and I screamed? I was literally crying. I was like, I was in the middle of like moving and or like trying to move. And like I was in like a really transitional period of my life. And then Drake decided to drop that like huge bomb on me. And I was like, oh, my God. And I literally cried actual tears.
Did like, I tell you about the video or did you tell me?
I have no idea.
Because I know it was one of them waves.
We literally, our group chat is the way I get most of my information. If we hear my voice start to go like this, it's because I have a zit literally like right on the edge of my lip, which is disgusting, and I keep picking at it. But yeah, I don't know who told who about it, because I don't remember how I found out that it happened.
Okay, then it was definitely me, because I don't know how it happened.
Yeah, how did you find out? Or how did, because
I'm always on Twitter, and I've paid attention to the Drake and, I want to say Juicy J, that is not that man's name. The one who said he was hiding a child.
Right, the guy that he was in, like, a feud with at the
time. Yeah. Because that's what that video is in response to.
Oh, really? I don't follow.
Yes.
Okay. Rap beef like that.
So he was like, "You are hiding a child," and Drake was like, "Gotta think of how to respond to that." And he was like, "You know how we're gonna hide that? By getting the cast of the Degrassi."
Oh,
and then
my
we
God.
Never paid attention to that again.
I honestly did not know that. That's so funny. That he went. We gotta distract them. We gotta distract them from my secret child. So you probably did tell me about it, and I probably just screamed and cried for 3 hours straight. Because that's the part that I remember, is screaming and crying for 3 hours straight, and my roommates being like, oh my God. Speaking of nostalgia, like, this is such a week for nostalgia. Like, as of today, February 2nd, we've been, like, it's now, like, 36-ish hours since Cassie Steele dropped her Bus It challenge
and changed everybody's life
in the thong. I don't know if it's the thong, but it's a similar thong.
She got a really good dupe if it's not
honestly,
the thong.
Honestly, like, I was thinking she must have bought a thong and then bedazzled it in the proper way, because like I've unfortunately googled trying to find a similar thong and it's really hard.
Why am I literally googling it right now? I'm just like, wait a second. Is it on Etsy?
Oh, they might make it on Etsy. That would be so smart. Honestly, like a Degrassi Etsy page, like where you just recreate. Wait, I might have to, now that I have a printer. now that I bought a printer just so I could print shit on my iron-on paper for my Halloween costume, I could make a business out of this.
All right. So Manny Santos thong, nothing. Degrassi thong, nothing.
So it's not Etsy.
No. Also, looking at like thong designs since they came up, I don't even think that design like still exists.
Right? Because it comes up so high and it's like very specifically triangular.
Specifically in the whale tail thing. Exactly. That was like, is that a 10-year-old thong?
I'm like, did she keep the thong?
Over 10 years.
Did she keep the thong and then put it on for this video?
I mean, she still fits it. Word.
And then like she got like a similar looking top for it too. Like, it was such a cute look. And of course, Cassie Steele and her abs of steel just happened to have low-rise jeans lying around. Of course. But yeah, I'm a preschool teacher. I was literally checking children in when I opened my phone and that happened and I saw it on my phone and I was like, oh my God. And I had to like really contain myself so that nobody asked what I was looking at. But so yeah, back to Hazel. So little to say. So yeah, so my opinions on Hazel as a character. I like sure, her entire purpose for being here is in itself a stereotype. Like, she is the supportive friend, the supportive Black friend, the supportive girlfriend to everyone in her life. Yep. However, I appreciate her personality. She doesn't have much of one, but like, I appreciate like the, who she gets to be, which is like a very girly girl, somebody who is really into like fashion and like all of the quote unquote popular girl things. Cause she's never like sassy, you know, never like urban sassy, like that kind of stereotype. So I appreciate that they were at least wise enough to be like, hey, this girl might be the Black best friend who like only shares like gives life advice to her friends that are going through it, but we're gonna at least give her like an original kind of personality so that she doesn't just like fit a mold of what we're used to. So I appreciated that. But other than that, like, there is really not much to say about Hazel, and that's really the tragedy of Hazel Aden. What else is there? Oh, so how would we describe Hazel's arc in 3 sentences? Would you like to go first?
Okay. Hazel Aden was a Black best friend, mm-hmm. period. Also, she's Muslim, mm-hmm. period. Then she got written off, period.
Okay, good job. Good job. I didn't even think about this. Usually I, like, try to think about it a little teeny tiny bit before I record. I haven't given this single lick of thought to.
I have thought of this for 2 months, and that's the best I got.
Okay, so Hazel Aden is a support system to all of the friends in her life, period. Though she is not given much of her own life, her own plot or struggles to deal with, she is ever present in everyone else's, period. In the end, she like loses her boyfriend and then graduates. in the end, she stands her ground, when she feels she's being disrespected and, graduates, period.
That just reminded me of something so dark.
What?
Hazel Aden, looking like that, being I can't remember her actress's name.
Andrea Lewis.
Looking like Andrea Lewis, she lost men to Ellie twice.
Even Marco.
Exactly.
I didn't even think about that.
Like, Marco was gonna beard and he was like Ellie was.
Exactly. He was like, you know what, I may be gay but I'm at least gonna be gay with somebody who isn't
with Ellie.
Yeah, somebody who isn't the picture of femininity. So yeah, like, that's so funny. I didn't even think about that.
I just happened to like see it earlier when I was looking at the wiki, and I was like, wait a second, hold on. Y'all let this happen twice.
Poor Hazel. This is first Marco, and it's like, you didn't even like Marco. I thought he was cute before I knew he was gay. Which by the way, one of my favorite quotes from the show ever is Hazel going, I'm freezing, who's gay?
Literally, I was gonna say that is the best quote. I don't know why it's not just on everything.
It's so funny. And like, I heard on the podcast that I listen to, the Degrassi Every Episode Ever Marathon podcast, if anyone would like to check them out, they had talked really early on about how Hazel was given all of these like funny one-liners that like you forget them over time, but that one stands out to me, and like, it stays being one of my favorites. And like, they just always give her like the what's that, in the end media res lines, where it's like you enter a scene and then she's already talking about something, and you're like what was this conversation supposed to be? And I was like, oh, so like, that's what they did for Hazel. They actually did the same thing, Daniel and I realized in our rewatch, they did the same thing with Anya, where like, at first she wasn't funny, like she was just kind of there. And then, like, by the time season 9 rolled around, Anya got so many, like, funny one-liners. And then that was just the rest of her character until she left the show. But, so, yeah, we've wrapped up Hazel's arc. We didn't wrap it up. We didn't know. End of the episode. Goodbye. we've summed up Hazel's arc in 3 sentences. Now we can give plot points. But here's the problem. There is no way we can pull 6 plot points out of this bitch. So what we're going to do is we're just going to talk in tandem about the, what, 1.5 plot lines that she did have. Yeah. Would that be an accurate number? Like 2.
It really can't be overstated that she got dumped for Ellie twice.
Yeah, like, I think it's like, it should be like 2. Like 2, like, 1 full plot point and then 2 half plot points. Right?
Yeah, because literally just going through it, it's every other thing is like, and Hazel was there when this happened to somebody else.
Yep.
And they talked to her when this happened to somebody else.
Yep.
Also, she kissed Jimmy.
Mm-hmm. And she kissed Toby in the Breakfast
Club episode. Yeah, I was ignoring that for her.
I thought that was so weird and funny. Also, okay, wait. Before we fully dive into her plots, this is not a plot point, nor is it like even a half of a plot point. This is a singular line that must be addressed. The fact that Hazel got into detention in the Breakfast Club episode for looking at porn at school, she claims it was an accident. Do we believe her?
Okay, so watching it, I do believe her because they didn't give her enough for it to not be,
honestly.
But like, years later, when I'm just like, let me add life to her, let's have some headcanons. Nobody at Degrassi knew how to like deal with their sexual stuff, honestly. Like at home,
honestly.
So yeah, she just wanted to know.
Yeah,
curiosity.
And also, like, speaking of her household, this would be the first like main plot point of Hazel. Is obviously her big episode, Don't Believe the Hype. I didn't even have to look at the wiki for that. I knew the title of the episode off the cuff. Don't Believe the Hype is the episode where we address racism for the first time in the series, huh? I think.
And take your word for it.
Really? Sometimes I ask myself. but yeah, I think.
That was the first.
Yeah, because it's only season two.
They didn't even give it to like a relevant character.
No. Liberty doesn't get a racism plot line until college. Like, that's the crazy one. And Jimmy never really gets one. Like, not anything that's like important. Like,
I think the first like racial plot line other than this one I can think of like off the top of my head is Danny.
Yeah.
When the shitty one,
Derek,
got in trouble.
Yeah, that's the racism plot line that I always go to as well. Like, whenever I think, oh, a racism episode of Degrassi, that's the episode I think of. Unfortunately, it's not even Hazel's Don't Believe the Hype, but it's always the Danny when Derek puts it's a thong, interestingly enough, where the theme of the episode is thongs. when Derek puts the thong in Danny's bag or whatever and makes it look like he stole it from the store, which like then brings up issues of race and yada yada. And then like Jimmy has like a couple like lines about it, like, if you did this to me it would be racist, or like you are discriminating against Marco for being gay. What, are you gonna discriminate against me because I'm black? Like, that's all Jimmy ever had to deal with.
Oh, you're forgetting the most iconic piece of dialogue, though.
Oh, what? Oh.
When he's telling Spinner he dances like a polar bear. And he's like, what?
And he's racist. Polar bears are white. I'm right. I'm white. And that's racist. Iconic. Iconic lines from Gavin Spinner Mason.
Truly the best.
So, yeah. In Don't Believe the Hype, we find out. So, like, Hazel's been on the show for about a season and a half, which is, like, I was thinking about that earlier. She was on the show pretty regularly in season one. They couldn't fully commit to her yet, though. They were like, we gotta wait. But then, like...
Like, the wiki says she's not a regular till like, season three.
Really? That would make sense. Yeah.
I think it says that, and it was like...
That makes sense. Yeah, because I was trying to picture her in the opening credits, and she does only have the one where she's... Oh, my God. Hazel only gets to be holding Paige up in the pyramid in the opening credits for her entire fucking life. God. She doesn't get a second or third, like...
No, they said, opening this credits. Is your job. You're only here to hold up Paige. Might as well.
Yep. Oh, wow. But, yeah, so she's been around for a while. We got to see her before this. She's on the Spirit Squad. Is this before they do Poor Thing? No, this is after. So Don't Believe the Hype is after Shout. So we've already learned that Hazel is a singer who is bad at singing and has way too much vibrato, like me when I was in high school. And so then this is Hazel's first, like, Hazel-centric episode. We learn that there's a girl at Degrassi who is Muslim and she wears a hijab. And if anything I say is incorrect, feel free to come onto our Instagram and totally educate me, because I'm afraid of misspeaking about Islam. But Hazel, she's so... cruel and Islamophobic and mean to this girl, talking about like, oh, it's a fashion crime to be wearing that and blah 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 and blah blah blah, and even everyone in her life, like even head bitch Paige, is like, whoa whoa whoa, that's a little cruel, that's a little mean. And Hazel's like, well, you know, you gotta be able to dish it out or whatever. And then and coincidentally, this is all going on around the day that everybody is sharing their heritages, their cultures and stuff. It's like, oh, the fucking, what do they call it? The fucking International Day. International Day is coming up where people are invited to share their their culture with the school. And everyone's like, oh, Hazel, what are you going to bring for International Day? You going to bring some like jerk chicken? And she's like, huh? And they're like, because you're Jamaican, right? And she's like, oh, yeah, because I'm Jamaican. Because she had been telling people that she was Jamaican as if that's something you can, as if that's a lie that you can keep up.
Paige, if she had ever been to her house before.
Oh, no.
Wouldn't she like a...
Yeah, they mention it. They address it. Paige does. Okay. Yeah, Paige asks Hazel, like, when am I finally going to come to your house or something like that? And Hazel's like, oh, you know, I don't remember what excuse she makes up, but that's, they really fast were like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Paige and Hazel are way too up each other's ass for Paige to have never been to her house.
Exactly, that's what I was just thinking. I was like, wait a second. Hold on.
So, yeah, they address it. And Hazel goes through all of these great lengths just to try and fake to everyone that she is Jamaican. And then the girl, her name is, I think, Fariza. Fariza, her presentation, the girl that they had bullied, or she that Hazel had bullied for being Muslim, basically, her presentation for International Day was destroyed. Because remember, guys, this is 2002. We are fresh out of, you know, 9/11 panic, and people are extremely Islamophobic. And she instantly points fingers at Hazel because she's like, that bitch hates me, and I know why. Because she is also Muslim and she wants to hide it. And because, like, Fariza is able to see past Hazel's, like, whole thing. Like, she confronts Hazel before this and is like, interesting last name you got there. Doesn't sound very fucking Jamaican to me. I love Fariza. She, like, I want to say she, like, shows up in, like, the backgrounds of other episodes, kind of like that girl in the wheelchair. Have you ever seen that girl in the earliest seasons?
No. Oh, literally, I just Googled Fariza. I've never seen this woman before in my life.
So, like, there's like a handful of characters that are kind of like used-ish around those first few seasons, like, in just like background or like in like promo material. There's Fariza. There's the girl in the wheelchair. I don't know her name. I don't know if she was ever given a name, but there's a girl, she has braces and she's in a wheelchair, and they kind of just use them to like fill the diversity in the background of of the shots. Like, I know it's in Emma's science fair episode. Before we learn that Emma wins the science fair or something, the girl in the wheelchair is up there and she's accepting her, like, silver medal or whatever. And I'm like, when are we going to give these characters names, personalities? And then they just disappear with Kendra. So, yeah, it turns out Hazel didn't destroy Fariza's presentation because she's not an evil fucking bitch. She's just suffering. She's just suffering from internalized Islamophobia and racism. And then she, after this pretty gnarly wake-up call, she then goes up and is like, hey, guys, I would like to confess something to you all. My name is Hazel Aden, and I am Muslim. And that was, you know, culturally, that was a pretty important episode to have at that time. Like,
yeah,
because I can only imagine, like, the unrest in the world after 9/11 happened, and people's, like, you know, perceptions of Islam being completely skewed and being fed all the shitty shit from America, all the fear mongering. And it was probably important, I guess, is not like the right word, but like, it's probably really important that they decided to put this episode out when they did, so that like people could kind of get that mirror to society and be like, oh, hey, turns out like this is pretty shitty thinking to blame an entire religion
yeah
for some terrorism. So yeah, that's Hazel's first big plot. And we just, and it's funny because like we learn so much about her from that, and that none of it is ever applied ever again.
Yeah. Oh, also, I'm just like looking at the episode trivia, and it was directed by Anais Skrenovsky, who I was literally just reading about her like a couple weeks, because she was the one from the first Degrassi. Oh. She played Lucy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And there was like that whole article about like how she felt out of place because like her parents were in a cult or something.
Oh,
like
my
that.
God.
Okay, they probably weren't in a cult, but they were like hippies and like they were like very poor and like traveling around. And she like had like this weird like rich white grandparent scenario and was like living in cars and stuff.
Oh my goodness.
On the weekends.
She's so interesting. Like the more I learn about her and about her character in the original series, I'm like, I should watch the original series.
Just for her.
Because she's so
cool.
Because
she also directed this episode.
Yeah. Right? So we did that. We did Hazel's first big plot. What other plots are there to talk about with her?
The cappuccino fight? What was it? They were throwing at each other?
Oh, yeah. So, like, later... So... the only other times that we ever get to see Hazel in, like, some kind of conflict that affects her. Like, she's in everyone else's conflict when it, you know, doesn't affect her. But the only other time that she is once Paige starts dating Alex. And Jay, who at the time is Alex's, like, really close friend, ex-boyfriend, he is trying, I think, I can't remember what his motive is here. I think he's like just annoyed or something that Alex and Paige are together, because he's like mind blown by the idea that his ex-girlfriend is a lesbian. and he uses Hazel and is like, hey, did you know that your best girlfriend has a girlfriend? And she's like, what? And he's like, yeah, Paige is dating Alex. And Hazel gets, you know, mad about that, because she's like, she finds, you know, I'd be mad if my best friend was dating someone and didn't tell me, Daniel. And he's not. I just thought that would be funny. but so Hazel, like, she confronts Paige about it, blah, blah, blah. And it's kind of clear from the beginning that, like, Hazel is not happy necessarily for Paige and Alex. Like, she's gonna deal with it because she doesn't want to, like, lose her best friend. But she, like, she's not happy about it. And so there's the episode, this episode is after Hazel first finds out, where Paige and Alex are fully a thing and Hazel's like feeling third wheeled, and she and Alex try to like win over Paige's affections, blah, blah, blah. It's a classic, you know, friend versus boyfriend / girlfriend trope. And they're like, they just, their personalities don't mesh because Alex is, you know, who Alex is, fucking poor and mean.
Candy bandit.
Yeah, poor, mean, in a gang. Was in a gang. And Hazel is, you know, peppy and sweet and fun. And they hate each other. And the whole episode is basically them just bickering and fighting. And then they all go to the mall and like throw whipped cream from their cappuccinos at each other. And that, like, the fact that I had to talk about this plot at all is just proof that they really,
she had nothing.
That they really shorted us when it came to Hazel content. And then that's kind of really it for like Hazel centric plots. She does get to like be the voice of reason for a lot of other people though, which is unfortunate. That's the trope. That's the whole thing. That's what, you know, as a Black girl, we watch TV and we were like, is this all I'm meant to do in life? Is sit by my white friends and give them advice. But like, that's really what Hazel does, is she, you know, made, she helped Paige confront her, you know, her rape. She helped Terry confront her abuse. She helped Jimmy through everything, getting shot. She kind of had to be there for everyone else while, and it wasn't that no one else was there for her. She just didn't have anything for
them to be there for.
Exactly. So it was an extremely one-sided situation for Hazel, unfortunately. And like, when I talk about this on TikTok, people are like, how can you possibly like Marisol? how can I like Marisol? And the reason is because I had to suffer through watching Hazel get disrespected for 5 seasons. And while Marisol is a slut and a bitch, and did you see when I made that TikTok and I had the picture of Hazel behind me? She was wearing a shirt covered in horses. The fuck was that about? Her shirt had so many horses on it. And I made the TikTok, and someone in the comments pointed out, they were like, why is her shirt covered in horses? And I was like, it's not, like, being a horse girl is not part of her character. Why is this, why is that a thing? But I wouldn't be surprised if Marisol was a horse girl, honestly.
Probably. Feels fitting.
I don't know why it feels fitting for her.
Like, she never talked about horses, but she's just that. And she's not even, like, a crunchy granola girl. No. Either. Like, if somebody was like, Claire, horse girl. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Like, especially Claire. Claire right after stopping wearing her uniform every day, but right before the haircut. Season 9,
that
Claire.
Bitch was riding horses every week.
And her, like, the plaid. She wore, like, the plaid, like, buttoned down short sleeve shirts with the, like, boot cut jeans. That's a horse girl.
That is what she would wear to the ranch. And nobody can tell me otherwise.
Mm-hmm. She would wear it to the ranch, get off the horse, go to the barn. Are there barns? You know?
Probably.
Go to the barn, pull out her laptop, write sexy vampire fan fiction.
Yes.
But yeah, so like, Hazel really set a precedent for the black characters that would follow. And unfortunately, yeah, we then had to suffer through Shantae to get to
Marisol.
And we had to suffer through Shantae for longer than we had to suffer through Hazel. Shantae was with us from seasons, what, 4 to like 12? 11?
Let me check, but probably.
I think 12. I think those seniors don't graduate till the beginning of 12.
Or maybe. Why did they want us to have Shantae for so long?
They didn't. They just didn't know what to do with her. they were like,
they wrote out everybody else.
Honestly. Like, we.
Or just like, let them go.
Yeah, truly. They were like, you know, we don't see a future for Blue Chessex, but we could keep Shantae on for why?
I mean, I will never be mad at a black woman
for
making money off them people.
No.
But what the fuck?
Like, I do love Jujube, and I think she's so gorgeous. And I loved all of Shantae's looks, like, once, like, after season 9, like, once Shantae started rocking her fro, and we got to see her in, like, some fun, like, funky outfits. Like, I like Shantae then.
I forgot this woman's last name was Black.
Oh, yeah, Shantae Black. And then Dave, her whole cousin, he got to have a different last name. They couldn't have made
they
both
didn't
of them
have,
suffer.
Because you could not have the Black cousins, and they're literally Black.
Okay, that's but true.
You can't.
And then the fact that they were cousins was completely irrelevant to everything ever. This is less of a Hazel episode now and more of us complaining about the Black characters on Degrassi.
As it should. What the fuck?
Because, yeah, like, the fact...
Okay, season 11. 4 to 11.
Okay, 4 to 11. But yeah, the fact that Shantae and Dave were cousins is, like, completely irrelevant. They spoke once. Like, I can only remember it ever being important when he wants to fight Bruce the Moose. And Shantae is like, okay, little cousin, don't fight Bruce the Moose.
But I didn't know she dated, I didn't know she dated Danny.
You didn't.
They really said black.
Yeah.
Expand on that.
Yeah, I think of all the, like, black representation on the show, Danny is one of the better ones. Yes. Like, he never gets shot.
Yeah.
He never gets shot. He never gets anyone pregnant.
He's not, like, in a gang.
He's never in a gang.
He has a terrible best friend, but that's, like,
yeah,
the plight of everybody on Degrassi, honestly.
Yeah, and, like, he beats up JT once or twice.
He deserves it.
Yeah, JT deserved it.
As he should.
But yeah, Danny.
And then he grew up hot.
Yeah, Danny. Like, look, fucking Dalmar. Dalmar Abuzed. Dalmar Abuzed is so hot. I was like, I really didn't appreciate. And that, honestly, that is the internalized racism. That is the internalized racism because I did not appreciate Dalmar Abuzed until recently. I was like, we watched,
really?
Yeah, we watched this season this past summer, and I kept watching because I know he's hot now, but I was like, he grew into his hotness, you know. And then I was watching it and I was like, no, he's always been hot.
He showed up with that little Corbin blue afro and you were like,
his
that's
hair
a boy
is so cute. I was like, he's got the most perfect curl pattern ever. Yeah,
really, you missed that?
I missed it.
Oh,
I really missed it. That, you know, it was the
unfortunate.
It was the internalized racism, and it was also me being dickmatized by Sav Bhandari. Like, I cannot say that it was all the internalized racism. It was also just me with my eyes being completely focused on Raymond of Black.
Also, one day when this episode is over, we have to talk about his afro, Jordan Fisher's afro, and Corbin Blue's.
Compare afro.
What's happening? What's happening?
Like, that's one, like, that must be a wherever Dalmar's family, like, wherever his, like, lineage is from, that curl pattern must be, like, a specifically this part of the world kind of thing. Because that, like, it's the most beautiful, like, singular curl I've ever seen in my life.
And you know nobody on Degrassi was doing his
hair. No, thing. He knew what to do. yeah, also the whole, like, us having to pretend for so long that Liberty and Danny could feasibly be related was the gag of everything.
Honestly. But also, I'm like, literally checking it right now, because I do not quote me, mm-hmm, because I think he just played the child of a slave, honestly. But Anne with an E, mm-hmm, I think he played, like, something of biracial on there.
Interesting. So
maybe he is
biracial of something.
And he's just, like, yeah, a darker, mm-hmm, darker tone.
I see it. I see it. That's definitely an idea. Which, this was another thing I wanted to bring up. Not to deter from Black History Month or anything, but... But I would like to point out, when I was recounting this in my head earlier today, talking about Hazel's Muslim storyline, there are a lot of Muslim characters on Degrassi, and I will applaud them for that. There are so, yeah, many. Because, like, I was like, oh yeah, well, there was Hazel and Sav and Ali and Raja and
Goldie.
Saad and Goldie and that boy. The boy that I hate. What's his name?
What? Which one?
Goldie's, like, brother, cousin, whatever he is.
Oh.
Him. Him.
He wasn't even gay.
No, not the gay one. The other one.
He was just next to him all the time.
Yeah. Which, like, that's a whole nother thing, is how were any of them friends? Like, how was Vijay friends with those people? Anyway.
I don't know, because it seemed like the little... I really do not remember any of the Hollingsworth boys' names at any given time. Is it Hunter?
Yeah. Hunter, yeah.
I just feel like he would be so anti everybody he spoke to. Truly. I don't know how he had such a diverse friend group.
Truly. How was he okay with being friends with somebody Muslim? Like, you would think, like,
Muslim, gay,
gay,
everything.
Yeah. And
woman.
Turns out.
But also, he was like vaguely friends with Lola for a minute. Oddly.
Yeah, like Hunter is an enigma, honestly, because it was like, how did he curate this friend group? Is all they talk about video games, and then they compare dick sizes? Like, remember that? That was the plot. They were sending each other pictures of their dicks. No, wait, that was
the Degrassi writers clearly had so many plots, and they were like, okay, we're gonna give all of these to the same four people.
Guess what?
The rest of you just stand there.
You know what I just did? My brain conflated the two different dick related plots from that episode or from that season. Series? I don't remember which season was which. But, like, there was the plot of Winston and Miles sending each other their dick pics. And then there
just
was...
Just as bros?
And then there... Yeah. And then there was the plot of Hunter and his friends sending each other... Or, like, comparing dick sizes.
Wait. I want to say that might have been the inciting incident, but also, it could have just been a different plot.
They were two different plots. They were fully two different plots.
What's happening with the Hollingsworths?
Oh.
When you get to that episode, please.
Oh, what? That's a great episode title. What is happening with the Hollingsworths? Their reality show, Keeping Up with the Hollingsworths. So yeah, we can go on to Hazel's ships now. You know, the one
ship.
The one ship. Yeah, we talked about Jimmy and Hazel in the Jimmy episode that I did with Daniel. Where, like, they were fine. Like, they were cute. You know?
Yeah.
They got together in the Breakfast Club episode. What else? Like, he...
That made so much of a non-impression on me.
Mm-hmm.
I literally was gonna say, oh, the Breakfast Club episode where none of them ended up being friends afterwards.
Right.
No, they did. They ended up being in a whole relationship.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, it's like, I feel... Me and Aaron talked about this. How, like, it was like... I don't know if I ended up putting that in the episode or not. But we talked about how the Breakfast Club episode was really kind of a bust. Because it's like... They had all these different personalities. They had so much, like, potential to do with them. And they didn't even, like, go the Breakfast Club route, which, like, you know, is the expected route to go.
Uh-huh.
But, like, in the end, it's like, oh, the popular guy and the popular girl end up together. And then the freak girl and the bad boy end up together. And then Toby's just fucking off, I guess.
Yeah.
So, like, they didn't do anything interesting with it. It was just kind of like, meh.
But I think that's, like, an issue with, like, Breakfast Club episodes, mm-hmm. like, in general. Because mm-hmm. you're so busy, like, getting all the points of the homage down.
Mm-hmm.
That you're, like, throwing away, like,
the
character moments because you're busy doing that.
Yeah, you're throwing away the entire, like, message of the Breakfast Club.
Like, literally, because you, like, really can't do it, especially not on, like, a serious, like, mm-hmm. linear show like Degrassi.
Yeah.
Like, Victorious did it.
Lizzie McGuire
did it.
Mm-hmm.
But those are both shows that, like, just go to the
status quo.
They're
episodic, yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's not, like, this is gonna have lifelong consequences, where it's, like, Degrassi doesn't, it's, like... Now you have to tell me what's going to happen afterwards. And
right.
Why they had to just, okay, now we're going to put the ships we wanted together. Okay, cool, bye.
Yeah, like that was really what that whole episode was an excuse to be like, okay, well, now Jimmy and Hazel are together, and now Sean and Ellie are together.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that is exactly right. So, like, they start out fucking boring, and that's basically what they are for their entire relationship.
So Jimmy has a girlfriend.
Yeah, so Jimmy has a girlfriend so that somebody is fighting for him while he's fighting for his life after getting shot in the spine by Rick
Murray.
And
it's just convenient to have a black girl with no lines.
Yep, exactly. She's there to support. She's there to start singing Cater to You by Destiny's Child.
Yeah.
Well, I will say, we talked about this, I think, in the Jimmy episode, when Hazel stood up for Jimmy when Paige was, it was junior prom, I think, when Paige was, like, showed up, her leg was broken, Manny was wearing her dress, all of that stuff, and Paige was, like, complaining the whole time. And Hazel was like, bitch, my boyfriend got shot this year. We are making this night good for Jimmy. So yeah,
that was and like looking at the wiki, it was like a good parallel to their date at the Hawaii dance or whatever it was.
Or do you mean the when they went
where he's like trying to get a perfect night and the car's gross?
Oh yeah, I know what you
mean. That's a different dance, isn't
it? Yes, the what's it called dance? They had the Bollywood dance. That was the one.
Ah.
Yeah, that was, you're totally right. When he was trying to make the night really perfect and he ended up fucking everything up, getting Billy Ray Cyrus to drive them to the dance. And then Hazel's like, it was still a perfect night, blah, blah, blah. And then the next year, that's totally true. I didn't even think about that. That's really cute. But yeah, and then they are still together. They stay together while Jimmy is recovering from his, you know, gunshot wound to the spine. And then Jimmy starts developing feelings for one Miss Ellie Nash. And and Hazel catches on real quick. And
I mean, it's hard not to when he painted
the picture. Painted her whole face on the mural.
With a wedding ring.
Like a dumbass. He went, this is a girl. And Hazel's like, that's not just a girl. That's the girl you've been hanging out with. That is not me. Never trust the girl best friend. That's what Gen Z is learning right now. They're like,
yeah, all over TikTok.
All over TikTok. They're all like, never trust the girl best friend. I blame Sabrina Carpenter. So... yeah, that all happens, and then they break up because she knows that he has feelings for Ellie, and she's like, guess what? I don't need this, and she pours orange paint all over him because he's, you know, so redheaded for trouble. I had to cut that joke from the Craig episode because our voices were overlapping, and that was probably the strongest I've ever seen Hazel in the series.
She didn't have a lot to do, so.
Yeah.
Might as well go out strong.
Honestly. And then I don't know if that seems like concurrently with the time that Paige and Alex were dating. So then we just kind of get to see Hazel be single and then graduate and then never show her face or do anything to do with the show again.
Or be mentioned.
Never mentioned again, even, I don't think. So those were her ships. Let's flesh out this ship segment by saying who we wish we could have seen Hazel with. Who Spinner. Do you think? I agree. Spinner would have... Yeah, Spinner deserved... Well, first of all, he had so many girls. So many girls. I would have liked to see him complete the trifecta. It's not even... I don't even know if you could call it a trifecta. Oh, he could complete the whole pyramid because Manny... Manny, Hazel, and Paige in the opening credits. But
I just feel like anybody who dates Spinner automatically just like has all, it's like being Craig's girlfriend, but like you're not dating Craig.
So yeah, it's
a little bit better.
Yeah, you've got all of the dumbassery and all of the like a little Flash bit to of go the with angst. It. Yeah. And like you get the hotness, depends on when you got Spinner, but like he's pretty hot. Eventually, like I would say Spinner reaches like he reaches like a level of hotness to the point where it wasn't like weird to have a crush on Spinner in around season 5, 4 or 5. Like because 4 was when he had the really curly like middle part hair. That was a good look on him. And then he ended up cutting
Spinner
it.
Spinner had so much hair,
so many hairstyles. I want to figure out a way to do an episode where we talk about all the hair moments on this show. I don't know what I would, how we would frame it or whatever.
But... we'd have to have like an online companion.
Yeah. Be like, okay, well, this is where we discuss things and then we do like a video of it. But yeah, I think, yeah, Hazel and Spinner would have been an interesting idea. I say Sean. I don't know why I say Sean. I think it's because I also said I would have loved to see Terry with Sean. but
you know how I feel about that boy. So
you are the only person in the world who does not like Sean Cameron.
I think he's bad.
He's a tortured boy.
Spinner got a man shot in the back, and I'm still just like, okay, but the guy who shot the killer, do we like him?
I think Hazel and Sean would have been interesting. It would have been nice to see the girls switch boys in the Breakfast Club episode, like Jimmy, Ellie, Hazel, Sean. That would have been something interesting that they could have dealt with, but no, they had to go super predictable.
Or Toby and Hazel.
Okay, I totally agree. First of all, Andrea Lewis is so tiny. Andrea Lewis is 4'11". She walked past me on a Los Angeles street a couple years ago, and I froze up and didn't say anything to her. And Andrea Lewis, if you're listening, it is my biggest regret not saying anything to you. But she walked past me on a Los Angeles street, and she's tiny. She's so small. Like, she's Kristen Chenoweth pixie size. She would have.
So they could have just like stood next to each other. Very cute.
Exactly. She would have been perfect with Toby, because that's my big theory, is like that Toby was introduced as like the quote unquote ducky to like Emma's Molly Ringwald or whatever, and that his crush on Emma would have been a bigger deal. But then once Miriam started really, really outgrowing Jake, they were like, no, this can't be taken seriously.
Or they were just like very hopeful they'd get like a little ugly duckling scenario out of like both of them. Mm-hmm. And it was like, no.
Just one of them.
You're just a duck.
And that's okay. It's okay to be a duck.
Like, it's okay. He's not. He is not the guy who plays JT. So he's fine.
Exactly. Toby is hotter than JT. And if people disagree with me, they are wrong. Toby is like objectively hotter than JT. I'm so sorry. He's just
he has a hairline.
Has a hairline. He's got lips.
He doesn't look
short.
Like he's behind the desk at a bank in every picture I've seen of him.
Even young JT kind of looks like a bank intern.
The only JT that is not is the one day that JT was gay.
Oh, gay JT. Gay T. And I can't. JT.
Yeah, that's the only one that doesn't work at a bank. That one's a flight attendant.
So we've covered Hazel's ships. Well, I guess there's only one more thing to do, and that is tell about a time that you were such a Hazel. I mean, where do I begin? I'm also Black and underappreciated and sang with so much vibrato when I was 15.
And you have white best friends.
And I have white best friends. Do you have one?
No. I'm still trying to think. No. Like, I'm not Muslim or self-hating.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
I mean, when I was younger, I thought the Black best friend, or not even the Black best friend, I thought, hold on, I have to Google this character's name before I say anything. It's the, like, sidekick friend.
Right.
Hey Arnold in the blue outfit.
Oh. I know her name.
She had the clipboard.
Is her name Penny or something?
Is it Patty? It is Phoebe.
Phoebe. Yeah.
I wanted to be the Phoebe so bad. And like, nobody asked me. Nobody was like, you should be the sidekick. I was just like, this is the role I should play. You want me to take your notes? I got you. I was bad at it. It didn't never ever work out, but I wanted to. Mm-hmm. Which I feel like is the closest I will ever get to being a Hazel, I guess. Just like,
yeah,
the one time I tried and did not work out.
Yeah, I see that. I love that. Yeah, I guess I would say that too. Like, I am generally like I try to be there for people. I'm always trying to be dependable. Like, I'm always trying to make sure everyone knows, like, hey, I'm available if you need me to do anything for you. I'm, you know, always open to that, and like, I'm never really one to complain about it. So yeah, I guess that's the time that I'm such a Hazel, because it's not really like a big inconvenience to me to just be there for my pals. Because it's like, I feel like some people would take that and be like, I'm just such a martyr. I give and I give and I never get anything back. But no, I'm like, you know what? Whoever's writing my life, they made the right choice. I'm complicit. I'm fine. So yeah, that's a time that I was such a Hazel. And for characters like this, we like to do, in addition to a time that you were such a this character, we like to do a, what do you wish you could have seen for this character? Which this we could have a whole fan fiction about.
The Hazel story. I genuinely am.
Because, like, there's so many things you could have given. Like, because, like, I'm trying to think, like, what are plots that Degrassi never tackled that I was like, I can't believe they never tackled that.
Degrassi got everything.
They got pretty much everything. There were a few that I used to be like, they would do really well with XYZ plotline. Honestly, like, if we had followed Hazel to college, if she had gone to college with, like, the rest of her friends, I would have loved, because this is one that I was like, I can't believe we've never tackled this once the characters start becoming of age, and that is like a cam girl storyline, which I love a cam girl storyline. Like, oh, I just need money for school, time to start showing my boobies on the internet. And Andrea Lewis Hazel's got some boobies, so
I Degrassi would say really only gave those to like 14-year-olds. Would have loved some legality in there.
Yeah, we would love for nudes to be spread around this show legally. But yeah, I would love to have seen anything regarding Hazel's sexuality, because she lucked out from having Jimmy, who was just recovering from a spine injury that left him fucking paralyzed from the waist down. Hazel's character lucked out on not really having to have a virginity plotline, because Jimmy had other things to worry about.
Yeah. The wiki was like, Hazel is definitely didn't have sex with Jimmy, so she probably ended the show a virgin. I was like,
yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even know Degrassi let that happen to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's like, oh, like, she really, like, she dated this guy for, what, 2 years?
2 years.
And, mm-hmm. And they were like, you know what? You've got other things to worry about. We do not have to worry about this. Let's take this one step at a time. And then he ended up presumably losing it to Ashley in a weird turn of events. And so, yeah, like, I would love to have seen anything regarding Hazel sexually, like, anything, because like, she didn't even have like opinions on it. Like, she was a pretty asexual being,
except for the one time she quietly watched porn,
except for the one time that she accidentally watched porn at school and got caught and got sent to detention for it. Or like,
I think there should have been like a definitely like a one of those like definitive I'm not just your sidekick plot.
Yes, that would have been awesome. I would have loved to see that. I would have loved to see that from honestly anyone on this show. Yeah. Really, I mean, like, toward the later seasons, we kind of got to see people standing up against like their archetype, or standing up to the people that are oppressing them. Like, you know, Anya, Holly J. Like, we got to see that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
With them, but I would have loved to see that more in general. Like, I was watching, I might turn this into a series on TikTok actually, of me watching One Tree Hill, and there is like, so Chad Michael Murray's character in this first season, at least, it is insufferable how much he drops everything to go help this annoying bitch Peyton. Like, he is going through his own shit. He's a bastard child who is getting mercilessly bullied on the basketball team. mercilessly bullied. Like, they are ruining his clothes, making him walk around naked every day, or not every day, making him walk around naked, spray painting on his basketball hoop. Like, he gets mercilessly bullied, and he's literally cleaning the graffiti off of his basketball hoop, and Peyton walks up and he drops everything just to help her with her problem. I was like, no, stop. Like, it's possible for someone to say, hey, I'm going through my own shit right now. Can we not? Like, can we pause the pity party? But yeah, I would have loved to see any of that in any of these characters.
Like, she vaguely got in the prom episode. I will say that. There's that. But it's like, they weren't.
It's never.
It's not long term. It's like, shut up. Okay. Damn.
Yeah, like, it's never, and it's never like a, it's never about like how she's treated by Paige, which, you know, isn't terribly, like, Paige doesn't treat her as badly as, say, Holly J treats Anya. Yeah. But, like, you know, there is the you know, unspoken kind of rule that Paige is the leader and Hazel's the follower. So, like, having that dynamic be addressed, it should have been addressed. I think Jay even might address it more than Hazel ever does when he's like trying to bait her into like getting between Paige and Alex, where mm-hmm. he uses some kind of like, oh, you're just gonna do everything Paige says kind of language with her, and she's like, then she has her like little mini Heather Duke moment, but she never gets a full one, and I would have loved to see that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm just now realizing?
What?
Maybe they made Anya a Holly J carbon copy because Samantha Monroe looks like Shannon Doherty, because she played her in the 90210 biopic.
She did what now? Hold on.
She played Shannon Doherty. Samantha Monroe played Shannon Doherty in the 90210 biopic that they made on Lifetime, like,
what is with Degrassi and 90210?
Oh, yeah.
Also, that's where Shanae went.
Mm-hmm. Also, Degrassi and Lifetime biopics, because fucking Cam's actor was Zach Morris in the Saved by the Bell biopic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which, like, he didn't look it at all. He did not look like our boy John Paul. John Paul, right? That's his name?
Yeah, John Paul. Oh, she looks so weird as her, but I like it.
Me too. So I'm thinking maybe they saw her. They went, you've got a Shannon Doherty vibe. And what was Shannon Doherty in? Heathers. Who did she play? A bitch who didn't have a personality and only adapted her mean friend's personality. And then they made Anya.
That is so funny. I'm just like imagining the writer's room if they had ever decided. Just like snorting a giant line of coke, like, you know who she looks like? That one.
But yeah. So do we have anything else? We have anything, any other good ideas about what Hazel could have been? Because she had so much potential.
She had so much potential. I wish that thing where people just, like, meld into, like, a different archetype. Like, just go from that a little bit.
Yeah. We could have totally just kind of re-personalityed her. Like, I make fun of them when they do that. But, like, it's, you know, for a good reason sometimes. And now that I've brought up Anya so many times, I would have loved to see Hazel get Anya's storylines. All of them. Just kidding.
We had a miscarriage. Super bummer.
Super bummer. But finding out that Anya's a nerd, that she likes LARPing, like, that kind of thing would have been so fun to explore with Hazel.
I think, like, it could, that one would have kind of come a little bit too close to, like, Liberty territory, because they're like, we have one black nerd too.
I see that. Yeah, but, like, Liberty's a different kind of nerd. Liberty's a school nerd. She's not a LARPing nerd.
If they had added a LARPing plot to Liberty, I'd have been like, check.
I'd have been like, you know what? That's that fits. That checks out. But like, I think it would have added kind of a layer of Hazel maybe kind of wanting to, because like obviously with her whole background and feeling like she needs to assimilate because of her past, she like taking on the traditional like page level of femininity might have been like a way that she was assimilating and coping. So like to see, give her a plot where she could have rejected that and found her own like interests would have been really cool.
Yeah. Ugh.
But I don't even think we mentioned that she was bullied out of her old school for being Muslim.
Because it wasn't a plot point. It was just
was backstory.
They decided that like, one day. How'd she get here? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Muslim. They were like, let's put that in.
That's another thing. It's like kind of like what I said about in the Sean episode where it was like, his backstory is so vague. Like, when did he show up here? with Hazel too. When did she show up here and then suddenly become friends with Paige? Because this is 2001. Like, when did it first come on? 2001.
I mean, when you're also writing in that Paige has never been in their house, you do have to make the friendship very like short term. Because like over a couple years, so, like was no.
Yeah, so, okay, yeah, that makes sense. That's totally accurate. So the first episode aired in October of 2001. So that's just a month after 9/11.
Oof.
And at this point, Hazel was already at the school. Like, she's there in season one. And so when she gets bullied out of her school for, like, they said that they bullied her, they called her a terrorist, blah blah blah. Are we expected to believe that that was pre 9/11? Like, I'm sure there was Islamophobia before then, but like,
or maybe perhaps what happened was,
and
the day after 9/11, because like people were getting shot November, I mean September 12th. So, like, it could have been a very fast turnaround. And then, like, when you were in, like, what, 7th, 8th grade? What were they? They weren't in high school, were they?
No, they were, this was
8th grade. 7th, 8th grade, you just, like, sit next to somebody and say, hey, I like your shoes. You're best friends. And, like, and close enough that you not going to their house isn't, like, weird. So it could fit. Doesn't really.
Yeah,
but
that makes
sense.
But
it's a logical conclusion.
Yeah. And it makes sense for, like, Paige, like, the Paige and Ashley dynamic of that time. Because it's like, Paige and Ashley are allegedly friends, but they're also frenemies. So it's like, it makes sense for Paige to have randomly gotten a new best friend. And then that causes, like, the rift between her and Ashley. So yeah, like that's, I guess we've hit Hazel Aden, which like it felt like 3 minutes long because normally when I record these, they take like 2 hours. But yeah, this was so much fun.
Yeah.
I'm like, is this the Hazel episode or the Black History?
The Black History.
Episode, or both or neither?
Hey, what was funny and grassy? best friend edition.
So where can people find you on social
media? They can
media,
find
Alicia?
Me on most platforms at Stay Yikes with two eyes and two eyes.
And you can find me across platforms on Instagram and TikTok, usually at OMG It's Key. And you can follow the podcast on Instagram at Cuckoo Bananas Podcast, and you can email us at cuckoobananaspodcast@gmail.com or at gmail.com. And now I'm going to look at my calendar because I've got one of those to see what I'm doing next week. Oh my God, how exciting! Next week will be the Paige episode. I put these next to each other for a reason. I'm just now realizing.
You can't have
I'm
Hazel
so excited.
Without Paige somewhere in the distance.
Exactly. Exactly. So next week we'll be having a threesome with me, Daniel, and Aaron, and we're all gonna talk about Paige, Michael, Chuck. I'm very excited. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening, and thank you so much for being on, Alicia.
You're welcome.
So much fun. Bye-bye.